I thought I'd begin with telling you how we learned about Mount Hermon and the military camper ships. For quite a while, a friend of mine, Christine Lee, was trying to get us to come to Mount Hermon and family camp. When I found out how much it was, I said, sorry, can't go. That's too expensive for us. And then she said, the key word for most mothers, there is a discount for military families. Oh, discount. And I was expecting maybe 10, 20% off. That's the standard discount we get for military. So I called at Mount Hermon. When I called them up, they wouldn't tell me what the discount rate was. I was really confused. They told me I had to talk to Dave Burns. I started to talk to Dave Burns, and he asked me all these questions. I was just tell me what the rate is. And then he said, well, where is your husband, military spouse, currently stationed? I said, well, he's in Afghanistan. And then they said, oh, well, then it's free for you. While he's in harm's way, your entire family can come here for free. And then when he comes back, you can all come back here again for free. I was shocked, happily shocked. And we came for the first time in 2011. We came back the next year in 2012. I wanted to mention, after that great first summer, when my husband first came back, it was 2 weeks before Christmas. My daughter, Lorana, was in our church Christmas play. We had three sessions. We were trying to get my husband, who had just come back from Afghanistan, to the one that would have the least amount of people there. Unfortunately, he was one with the most. And when I found my husband, he was in our AV booth, which is actually on the second floor, and his hands were shaking. He couldn't handle the crowds. It was very difficult for him. And he was diagnosed with sub-PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And a lot of our troops have it, so I think it's severely underdiagnosed. I think a lot of troops have it. In order to heal from PTSD, one of the things you need is you need safety and you need peace. And I'm about to compare Afghanistan to Mount Hermon. I probably don't think you've ever heard that before, but let me go ahead. So Afghanistan is a desert. My husband was telling me at his base, the only thing that was growing was a rose bush outside of the church where they'd hand water it. And then he's here at Mount Hermon, and it's green, and it's growing, and it's moist, and it's beautiful, and there's trees towering above him. So peaceful for him. And then a temperature you thought was bad yesterday. he said it was 130 degrees there, and the pedals on the bicycles were melting off. That's how hot it was. And then here, again, this is great. They were carriers saying, oh, it's so hot here. Like, Carrie, it's not. This is wonderful. We love it. It's so cool here. So when my husband and I went here for the first time in 2012 together as a family, I think for the first time he started healing. That really helps, I think, soldiers coming back to have a peaceful, safe environment. And I guess the last compare or contrast is he was in a hostile Muslim environment where he was under almost daily rocket attack. And here he is in a Christian community. That just made him feel so good. After coming back. So I want to thank people who have donated to the military scholarship. If you donated in 2011 or 2012, that actually helped our family. So thank you. Thank you so very much.
Mount Hermon Associates, it is an honor and a privilege to stand here before you today doing something that I absolutely could not do 4 years ago when I first came to Mount Hermon. There was no way I could have stood up here and told you how important your contributions and your contributions in time and in kind to my family and I and the difference that it's made. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to tell you some of the direct impacts of the military scholarship program for my family. And you may know some of these things, but God works in mysterious ways. And he has great and beautiful good plans. And I want to tell you some of the indirect, hidden multiplier effects of this program and what it has meant, not just for myself, but a number of other soldiers. Now, we need to get a little bit of perspective on this. But before I do that and take us back to why I had to come here, I want to mention this is now our fourth year, as my wife indicated. And it's our first year where we have been able to come without any scholarship money at all. We were completely able to take care of it. We are firmly sold on the value of what happens here. And we will be regulars for forevermore as long as you will have us at this wonderful place. I was talking to Dave Burns. I ran into him earlier this week. And I said, Dave, I just have to thank you so much. You introduced me to the only thing more addictive than heroin, Jesus, and the first one was free. So I owe him a great debt of gratitude backed by all of you, including my wife. But how I got here, there are a number of veterans I know in this audience. Some of you I know personally, and others I expect I will meet before too long. And we often don't talk a lot about the experiences we have in a war zone. And that's for a number of reasons. But one of those reasons is because the absolute worst depravity on the planet occurs in war zones. Red Cross won't go to those areas. Doctors Without Borders won't go to those areas. Just about the only people who will go to that area where these depravities are occurring is the U.S. military. And we go over there with an impossible mission at times, but do everything we can to save lives and make things better for people. Now, it becomes a very personal issue, so this is why as soldiers we don't usually talk about that. But if you are not ironclad strong in your faith, if you have not put on your armor and your shield and your boots, and you walk in and you are confronted for the first time in your life with true evil, you may experience that the way many soldiers, including myself, experience that, which is to ask that tough question in faith that we have: why does an all-truthful, all-loving God allow such horrible things to happen to such good people? And I'm just talking about myself. I'm talking about the Afghans, too. Many of them are wonderful human beings who will give you the shirt off their back. And they live in absolute misery on a daily basis in many places in the world. And we do what we can to help them. And I couldn't answer that question. And as a result, I retreated further away from faith. And as things got more difficult and the attacks increased and there were some other challenges, finally 1 month before I was scheduled to redeploy and come back home, and you know, when you're over there, you're thinking about your family, you're thinking about getting back home, you're not thinking about the Afghans who are stuck there forever. You're thinking about yourself sometimes. And then I got wounded 1 month before coming home, so I didn't get to come home. I got medically evacuated. I got sent to a wounded warrior unit. I didn't get to see my family for another 3 or 4 months after all the other families got to do that. And it's real difficult in that time and place. And you can continue to retreat from God while you're physically, mentally, and spiritually broken. Now, I know I'm not the only soldier who's in that position. In fact, I've met a number who have come here because of your generosity. So there are certain things that happen to soldiers where traditional talking therapies and a nice little trip isn't going to cure them. You know, Jesus met the woman at the well and said, I want to offer you the living water of which you will never thirst again. So there are some times that we become so completely broken that we have to have a direct encounter with the living God. Now, Mount Hermon is a magical place. You all know that. That's why you're in associates in ministry. Mount Hermon is a place that can give you a spiritual shock to your system that what was dead, like, you know, a trauma meter on your heart, can get you moving and feeling again. And that was what my first experience was like here. You saw in the video, I told you, you saved my life. You saved my marriage. And perhaps you even saved my soul. I am eternally grateful for that. And for what you have done for me and for many other soldiers. And my only response when given that opportunity to have that direct encounter with Christ at your generosity, I can only make one response in return: pay it forward. What else can I do? I pay it forward. So now from the video and from my testimony, you know exactly what that donation meant, that group of individuals made that year for us to come. But what we didn't know is that there was much more in store in God's plan. You see, when these horrible things were happening to Job, the greatest trials perhaps in the entire Bible visited on Job, and you're reading this and it's painful, and you're wondering, how can God turn this to his glory? But he does, even the worst of things. Because God, you see, he has a different view of the battlefield than we have. We exist in our narrow little world, in the tactical lane, experiencing what we can see through our senses and a few other things. But he knows what happens in the past, present, and future simultaneously before it was ever written or done. He knew how it would turn out. And he knew what I didn't know, which was when I was in the height of my difficulty and retreating deep away from spirituality, that he had a great plan for me. He had a transformative experience for me lined up at Mount Hermon. He had already conspired with the associates in ministry and Dave Burns and my wife to make this happen. And it just unfolded. And I came, and that healing began. But here's what you didn't know, what I didn't know, because it was part of God's plan that was not revealed at that time, is that this wasn't an end. This was a beginning. This was a calling for me to do some things differently in my life and for other soldiers. So how am I paying it forward? And well, in addition to supporting military ministry and doing a number of other things, one thing I immediately did is I went and I took one of the most serious problems I could identify in the U.S. military, and especially in the U.S. Army Reserve, especially for soldiers who are trained to do special operations work, which is soldier suicide. Soldiers commit suicide at 3 times the rate of the general population. And I'm sorry to say that, but it is the truth. And as folks who are called to God, we can't ignore that. So I took that very serious problem, and on my own time, I went and I grabbed a bunch of doctors, a bunch of economists, a bunch of professors, a bunch of folks who had psychiatric, PsyD, medical backgrounds. I grabbed a bunch of attorneys. I took a bunch of learned men. We created a working group where we got together and we said, we're going to look at how to really solve soldier suicide. And we did it on our own time. And we created a program called Enhanced Soldier Leader Risk Reduction Tool. We had the first clinical trial of that program approximately 6 months ago. In that first day it was unveiled, we trialed 63 soldiers in a military company. That day, we saved 2 lives who had slid under the radar of every other Army suicide prevention program. And we identified 15 people who had serious risk factors that could have put them in that category if untreated in the next 3 to 4 months. And here's the good news. We paired every one of them up, regardless of whether they were on active military duty or not on military duty at all, with free resources to their issue, whether it was a family marital issue, whether it was a relationship issue, a legal issue, a financial issue. We paired every one of them up with free resources to get them healing and back on the course that they needed to be. All of that unit is healthy, strong, vibrant, and becoming salt and light and reflecting what we did there that day. Well, God wasn't done. He said, Captain Hancock, okay, you're on the mend, and now I'm going to use you. This is great work that you've done. You need to continue that and a few other things. So he gave me a company command. Most captains don't get a company command. And my unit is down in Los Angeles. It's in Encino, California, and I have to fly down there periodically. And I command a group of special operations trainers. We train special operations soldiers to do missions all over the world in very difficult conditions, very, very independent. So that's where our second clinical trial is about to take place, the 12th and 13th of September. And once we have 3, and we demonstrate as the director of behavioral health of the entire Mississippi to the West Coast for the U.S. Army said, our program achieved an order of magnitude greater response. It achieved 8 times the response of any suicide prevention program ever attempted in the U.S. military. Our second clinical trial will be the 12th to the 13th. We are going to save more lives that day, I promise you. But now, you see, I command a training company. I command trainers. And I'm going to teach all of them this program. And like disciples of the Great Commission, we're going to go all over America and abroad if they'll take us, saving lives with this program. But I'm not done there yet because God still has more plans for me. He said, I want you to give your soldiers the opportunity to actually go and have worship when you're off there on duty on battle assemblies. Now, we do that when possible in the military, but oftentimes it just isn't possible for different reasons. Well, God and I think it's possible all the time. We do. And God is going to help me crack that code. And every single battle assembly my reserve soldiers come to, everyone, they're going to have access to spiritual resources to strengthen them so that when they're in that distant land in the dark place and things are falling apart and their faith is winnowing, it's going to be stronger and they're going to have resiliency and they're going to come back whole and able to spread that message. So we're going to build them up every time we get together. And I haven't figured out exactly how we're going to do that yet. I've got a chaplain flying all the way from Fort Bragg, North Carolina in September to assist me with the first installment of that. But I have to turn back to you as the people who saved me and brought me to this for your prayers. And if any of you know pastors or retired pastors in the Los Angeles area who'd be willing to give 1 hour, even on a one-time basis, to minister to my soldiers, I want to hear from you when we're done here. In conclusion, I just want to thank you again for everything that you've done through me. I want to give back to you the feedback that you get. When we donate, and there are so many good causes in the world, we don't always hear what impact that has. But I just wanted to give you all of that, all of the dominoes that have fallen, all the lives that you have saved and are now going to continue to save because of that donation you made to the military sponsorship program, that belief and faith you had in my family. God bless each and every one of you. We can never repay this, but we will do everything we can to join lockstep with you in bringing these kinds of opportunities to other soldiers and other seekers. God bless you all.